Acts chapter 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through some remote parts, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. So he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they replied to him, "We have not even heard that the Holy Spirit was given." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." So Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on the one who was coming after him, that is, into Jesus, the Anointed One." And when they heard this, they were immersed, that is, baptized, into the name of, that is, into the reality of, the Lord Jesus. Then, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in different languages and prophesied. These were about 12 men in number. And he entered into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and refused to be persuaded, speaking evil things about the way, in front of the whole group, he left them, separated the disciples, and thoroughly explaining everything daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this went on for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God did extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul, so that even when handkerchiefs or aprons from his body were brought to the sick, they were healed and the evil spirits went out of them. But some others, part of the group of traveling Jewish exorcists, also attempted to use the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had the evil spirits, saying, "I charge you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims." And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew who was a chief priest, who did this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was jumped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to everyone, both Jews and Greeks, who lived at Ephesus. So fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Many also of those who had believed came, confessing and declaring their deeds. And a significant number of those who practiced magical arts brought their books together and burned them in front of everyone. Then they added up their value, and it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew powerfully and prevailed. Now, after these things were finished, Paul, when he had gone through Macedonia and Achaia, purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must see Rome also." And having sent 2 of his assistants, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, he stayed for a little more time in Asia. It happened about that time that there arose no small disturbance concerning the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of the goddess Diana, brought the craftsmen more than a little work. So he got them together, along with other workmen of similar occupations, and said, "Men, you know that we make our living by this business. Yet you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned many people away from our images, saying that any things made with human hands are not really God's. Therefore, not only is there a danger that our trade will fall into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana, whom all Asia and the whole world worships, will not be respected any more, and that her magnificence will be diminished." And when they heard this, they were filled with great rage, and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, who were Paul's traveling companions. But when Paul wanted to go in and speak to the people, the disciples wouldn't allow him. And certain ones, also of the Asiarchs, who were his friends, sent to him and pleaded with him not to give himself over to those in the theater. Some, therefore, cried out one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them didn't even know why they had gotten together. So the Jews forced Alexander out from the crowd, and Alexander motioned with his hand, wanting to make a defense to the people. But when they saw that he was a Jew, everyone with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "You men of Ephesus, who is there who doesn't know that the city of the Ephesians is custodian of the temple of the great Diana, even of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things are indisputable, you ought to show restraint and not do anything rash. For you have brought these men here, who are neither temple robbers nor blasphemers of our goddess. If, therefore, Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them accuse one another, but if there are any other matters you wish to address, they can be settled in the regular assembly. For really we are in danger to be accused of insurrection because of today's events, since there is no reason for it which we can use to explain this tumult to the higher authorities." And having said these things, he dismissed the assembly. This is the end of Acts, chapter 19. The Father's Life New Testament Version was translated and produced by A Grain of Wheat Ministries, not by the reader, Wayne O'Connor. We hope you enjoyed this segment of the Father's Life New Testament Version. The Father's Life New Testament Version, in its entirety, is available for free at www.agrainofwheat.com. Request your copy today.